Good morning. Our scripture text this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15. This is from the second letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and it's actually a continuation of the passage that Carla preached from last week, which was about Paul's exhortation to the church in Corinth to give a great offering, a good collection for the church in Jerusalem who were in need of feeding the poor people in that community. So let's hear what Paul has to say. What I mean is this: the one who sows a small number of seeds will also reap a small crop. And the one who sows a generous amount of seeds will also reap a generous crop. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide for more than enough for every kind of good work. As it is written, they scattered everywhere. They gave to the needy. Their righteousness remains forever. The one who supplies seed for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed and will increase your crop, which is righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. Your ministry of the service to God's people isn't only fully meeting their needs, but it is also multiplying in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. They will give honor to God for your obedience to your confession of Christ's gospel. This they will do because this service provides evidence of your obedience and because of your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. They will also pray for you, and they will care deeply for you because of the outstanding grace that God has given to you. Thank God for the gifts of God that words cannot describe. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. So echoing the words of Paul again, thank God for the gifts of God that words cannot describe. What are the gifts of God in your life that words cannot describe? Think about it for just a moment. Did you name several gifts to yourself or maybe even to your family? What did you discover? As I did this exercise alone in my study, I found I first went to the macro of family and soul friends and loving community. And yes, since it's a stewardship Sunday, of having an abundance financially. To be able to give generously out of the resources that I have and that Hal and I have as a family to those who have less. And then I went to the micro, like a warm, comfy, safe bed. And, well, I wish I could be in blue skies over a sunny, warm beach with gentle ocean waves, or giving thanks for tomatoes fresh off the vine, or coffee in the morning, or I would even say this beautiful place that we have here at Plymouth, this beautiful cross, which I love so much. I found in between the macro and the micro the gift of story with its imagery and wisdom and metaphor, and the gift of poetry and the gift of alone time with God and the sound of laughter with good friends around a dinner table. I could go on. I know you could too. The point is to celebrate God's gifts and receive them wholeheartedly so that we are nurtured by them, so that we can then share God's gifts with others who are in need with open hearts and open hands, and thus share God's love revealed in Jesus. If we do not take the time, though, to let those gifts sink in and God's love sink deep into our souls, how can we share them? We can't share what we don't have. We can do a lot of good works, but are we sharing from an open and abundant heart, from the abundant heart of God? Just doing good works leads to soul burnout and scarcity feelings. And the abundant soul place of open-hearted generosity is where Paul is leading the church folks in Corinth as he encourages them to give to the offering being collected for the poor in that Christian community in Jerusalem. Paul knows that there is great financial need in that community, and he is compelled by the love of God he has experienced in Jesus Christ to help. And he also knows that the mutuality of giving and receiving will unite the Christian community, which is expanding from its Jewish roots in Jerusalem across the empire to include Gentiles in God's love in Christ. He knows that many, well, not all, some are poor and some are slaves, and yet many Gentile Christian communities have more to give. They are wealthier. They have not been oppressed or persecuted by the empire, as are the Jewish communities. This offering collection, then, is a brilliant opportunity to meet needs with practical sharing and to build bridges across class, ethnic, and religious interpretation divides. So Paul exhorts the church at Corinth and exhorts us as the 21st century church to greater generosity. He uses harvest imagery, which is so familiar to us as Americans at this time of year. Those who sow a small crop reap a small harvest. If you sow a bigger crop, you reap a bigger harvest. He alludes to and he quotes Psalm 112 when he says that the faithful followers of God are those who scattered and shared their resources everywhere, gave to the needy. Their righteousness or goodness remains forever. There is an underlying question here. Do we want to be God's faithful followers like our ancestors in faith? Do we want to sow a big crop or a small crop? Paul continues his exhortation by saying, in essence, now don't worry, because the one, and yes, Paul means God, the one who supplies the seed for sowing and then the bread for eating will supply you. You will be rich in blessings, as are the righteous, the trustworthy followers of God. And this will produce in you great thankfulness and generosity. Blessings. Blessings will overflow. Well, this is wonderful, isn't it? All this makes for feeling good about harvest and abundance, and let's give a big donation to the food bank. But I feel another question coming on. As I reread the text, I find another underlying question. How much, Paul? How much do we give to get this overflowing feeling good of being blessed and being a blessing? Paul writes in his exhortation at the beginning of it, everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. Now there's an overused stewardship quote for you. I bet you've heard that one. Maybe you've seen it embroidered on a pillow or cross-stitched on linen and hanging in a frame on a wall. After pondering the Greek word for cheerful, which is, and I hope I say this correctly, hilarious, which also means joyous and prompt to do anything, and yes, is the root word for hilarious, which we use today in a different context, I asked myself, what are the implications of being a cheerful giver? A giver who is joyous, prompt to do anything needed. Do I personally give with any hesitation or because of pressure? Or do I give readily? And without guilt or fear, do I give out of an attitude of abundance or from an outlook of scarcity? Think about that yourself for just a few moments. I know that I have experienced giving from a scarcity attitude or an attitude of reluctance or hesitation. I know that. And I wonder if you have too. In scarcity, we might say to ourselves, well, I have enough in the bank. I know I have more than enough for my own needs, but I can't let go of the what ifs, the fears of what might happen in the future. I can't let go so I can give generously like I really deep down might want to. Or we might say to ourselves, I don't have a lot to spare. I want to give more. I should give more. I will feel guilty if I don't give more. I will feel like God would like me less. I don't know if I pay as much, give as much as I want to, if I could even pay my utility bill, but I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want God to not like me. I don't want to feel guilty or fearful about how God feels about me. Or in a place of scarcity, we might say to ourselves, if I give this much, will I get some sort of external reward or get noticed in the community or get a bigger place in heaven? New Testament scholar Ernest Best writes about this passage saying, those who give out of self-interest to receive a reward here or in the hereafter, they are acting under an inner compulsion to seek their own good. Their giving does not have genuine joy, only a cool and calculating concern for self. So, if we give or withhold our giving because we are fearful or we feel guilty or we want to get right with God, if we give out of needing a reward, we are giving out of self-concern and scarcity. I tell you these things today on the peril that I might persuade some of you not to give at all because you're thinking, yikes, I don't know why I give. So maybe I shouldn't even give or pledge at all. Don't go there. Take a deep breath. There's an alternative. Give from joy. Joy, along with love, casts out fear and guilt and the need to look good in others' eyes. Give from joy that you have found this church community, even in the midst of social distancing, and we are together here in this way. Give from the joy of watching your children grow up in this church and learning about God and playing together and serving together. Give from the joy of knowing how connected we are to ministries and agencies in Northern Colorado that help prevent homelessness or care for the homeless or that welcome the immigrant with shelter and clothing or feed the hungry through the food bank of Larimer County. Give from the joy of learning together and praying together and knitting prayer shawls together and singing together, even in the midst of all these weird parameters we have right now about singing. Give from the joy of being in the midst of these trying times, surrounded by God's people, as we lift up one another with the love of Jesus, and as we share that with the world. Give from the joy, even if it's very hard at moments, to feel the joy. Giving is a way of connecting. And I find connecting with others brings me out of my pandemic and election and fire danger and racism, examination, anxiety, and dismay. Be a joyful, cheerful giver, my friends. And whatever amount you challenge yourself to give, don't look back. Just give from your open heart. You will be made rich in every way for your generosity. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. Your ministry of this service to God's people isn't only fully meeting their needs, but also multiplying many expressions of thanksgiving to God. In other words, says Paul says, your joyful giving will produce thanksgiving in those who receive from your gifts. They will give thanks to God for you, even as you give thanks for them and for your ability to give. It's a win-win situation. The more abundance flows, the more there will be more joyful work to do in God's world. In a moment, you will have a chance to say a prayer of consecration over your pledge card, or maybe a symbol of your pledge card if you have already sent it in or you've pledged online. We joyfully pray over our pledges in order to recognize and honor that giving is sacred. Giving brings us closer in beloved community and closer to the Holy One. God does have work for us to do, to continue doing in our tired and troubled world. We are a community of faithful and hard-working pilgrims on this sacred journey. Let us be joyful, cheerful givers as we walk this road together. Amen.